Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and this next segment may be difficult for some listeners, I want you to know, because we are going to talk about community violence. Boston has seen 9 homicides already this year. Just last night, there were 2 shootings, Mattapan and Hyde Park, one where the victim died. Here are Suffolk County District Attorney Rachel Rollins and Boston Police Commissioner William Gross talking today about this spike.
Every homicide is tragic, but we're working as hard as we can with law enforcement and our Crime Strategies Bureau to see whether we can interrupt things before they start occurring. But I'm disappointed.
All of our communities are great. And unfortunately, the actions of a few have created an uptick in violence.
We here at Radio Boston are committed to focusing on and talking about community violence. Several months ago, we spoke with 2 local leaders about the challenges of and solutions to community violence. We want to talk about it again today. Here in Studio 3 is Emmett Folgert, Executive Director of the Dorchester Youth Collaborative. Emmett, welcome.
I'm glad to be here.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, Tiziana.
Also with us on the phone is Mona Lisa Smith, founder and president of Mothers for Justice and Equality. Mona Lisa, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
I appreciate you spending the time today. Listeners, we want to invite you into the conversation as well. What do you make of this spate of violence early in the year this year? Are you concerned about community violence in your community? And if you live somewhere with low levels of community violence, how do you see your role in solving the problem in other neighborhood communities? What have you seen that works? What would you like to see? Call us. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. Mona Lisa, I'm going to turn to you because, ironically, you were originally supposed to join us in studio today for this conversation, but you couldn't because you're short-staffed there in responding to one of the 2 shootings from last night, the one in Mattapan. What is today's response to that looking like?
Today we are, we're Mothers for Justice and Equality is part of the City of Boston's neighborhood response team. And so this is an initiative that the mayor of Boston has started, where he's partnered community-based organizations to do the outreach and the community health centers to really kind of work on the trauma care. And so we are a partner with Mattapan Community Health Center, and our role is really to go out and do outreach in the community and pass out information where they could go and get assistance if they are in need of help around recovery. And also just be a face in the community to reassure folks that that hope is still existing.
Mona Lisa, is your team, is MJE doing any work on the other shooting, the Hyde Park shooting, or on any of the other incidents that have happened so far this year?
Our area is Mattapan, so we are working on incidents that have happened in Mattapan, but under the neighborhood trauma team, they have a team of individuals who are assigned to those particular areas, and they do similar outreach with the community and also the families who have been impacted by this violence as well. So it's a coordinated effort to help the family, during this very difficult time, and also to help the community understand that there are resources out there to help them in their recovery as well. And it's coordinated with the police as well, and so they will call into the line and really alert the trauma team that there's a need for them to be on site if they need to be on site.
Listeners, join this conversation, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Are you concerned about community violence? How do we show up for each other in these times of trauma and crisis? As a mother, if you're a mother, or a father, if you're a father, how do you think about the fear and trauma of young people in neighborhoods where they don't feel safe? We'd love to hear your reflections and your thoughts. So, Colin, Emmett, a minute ago, Mona Lisa talked about the fact that they're really focused on Mattapan. I have a list of the 9 homicides so far this year, 2 in Mattapan. One of the shootings last night was in Hyde Park. most of the rest of this is Dorchester. You're the Dorchester Youth Collaborative. Mm-hmm. Does it surprise you to see this many incidents so soon in the year this year?
Well, first of all, the data sets we're using are really way too big. Dorchester, Roxbury, Dorchester State on Dorchester, you know, is really big, and most of Dorchester has no gun violence whatsoever. The figures kind of bounce around, but 85% of gun violence occurs in 7% of the area of Boston year in, year out. They're small areas of just a few blocks, and almost all of this violence is gang versus gang conflict. So it's not like citizens are walking around pulling out guns on each other. I don't want anybody to get that idea, and some people have that idea. But if you happen to live in one of those spots, it's ever present. Some of it is, it's not so superficial, but actually the weather is important.
You mean warmer weather?
Yes. So what happens is a lot of the gang guys have been what they call sitting on houses all winter. And when weather breaks, they go and they find their rivals coming out of the house and they shoot them. It happens every year. It's predictable.
Is that why we tend to see more shootings in the summertime than in the wintertime, for example?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Mona Lisa, I want to turn back to you on that, because one of the things Mothers for Justice and Equality has really focused on are mothers who in their own families or with close family members have experienced loss to violence. There's so much I want to talk about in this, but early on I want to raise awareness of what the trauma of this is. Now, you've got mothers who are part of MJE who have already lost young people. When another shooting and or death like this happens, what is the impact on people who have already experienced loss?
And, you know, that is a very worthy question, and I'm so grateful that you have asked that question, Tiziana. First, I just want to just kind of say a couple of things.
Please.
What Emmett talked about a little bit. One is the shooting last night on Delhi Street. That is Mattapan. So MJE and Mattapan Community Health Center and the Boston Public Health Commission is out there right now passing out information to community residents, and the trauma team, Peace Institute, and others are working with families who have been impacted by that violence. So that is you know, being worked on. Nevertheless, it doesn't take away the fact that that a life is lost and families are grieving, and victims of violence have been kind of re-traumatized with that. Also, you know, Emmett had mentioned a lot about just about the fact that, you know, this is gangs shooting gangs and people, you know, and I want to just emphasize that, you know, that these are children. These are, and some are older, but these are individuals, family members. So regardless of what, you know, what they you know, what choices they made in life, they were not to be served a death sentence, right? And so they should not have lost their life, right, to the street violence. And we don't know if all of them were, you know, were involved in some kind of gang activity. We don't know that 100%. And so we want to just really be sensitive to the fact that, you know, these are mothers, these are siblings, these are friends, these are community members, and we want to, you know, respect, you know, the time that this child had a name.
So, Emmett, I'm going to give you...
person had a name. I just want to say that.
I appreciate that, Mona Lisa. And Emmett, in just a second, I'm going to go to a call, but I want to give you a chance to respond to Mona Lisa before I do.
Yes, no, you're so right. And I know many of these families and many of these victims personally have been around since 1981. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it is so concentrated shows us where to go, especially if we can get ahead of the trauma, prevent the trauma, and deal with the trauma after it happens. So we have to do both prevention and intervention.
Yes.
This is a solvable problem. It's located. We can flood these areas with artists and lots of adults and street workers, some ex-offenders, therapists, who love these kids and who will get them engaged in wonderful positive youth development activities so that they don't end up going down this path. And everybody isn't a gang member at all. I didn't mean to say that in any way. I'm just saying the majority of these
of those, the, of those engaged in these conflicts. Yeah. Let's take a call from Carol, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. To join this conversation, pull up a seat at the table and talk with us about this. This is something that affects our young people and the future of our communities. Carol's on the line from Brookline. Carol, go ahead.
Yes, I just want to say that there's, I have been for about 8 years, I think, participating in the Lewis D. Brown Peace Institute's Mother's Day Walk for Peace. I live in Brookline and don't know exactly what to do about and feel very affected by what is happening to people who have experienced violence and murder. And the Lewis D. Brown Peace Institute does help in the immediate aftermath. They have a Mother's Day Walk for Peace, and that is something that people should look up on the computer and contribute to and attend the Mother's Day Walk for Peace with a lot of people who have experienced violence, and they feel supported by people's participation as well as contribution.
Carol, let's thank you for that, and let's turn back to Mona Lisa for that, because what Carol's talking about, Mona Lisa, are shows of solidarity. And I want to ask you, where are the other opportunities for people to show up for each other, show solidarity, share concern, take social action together in Boston around these issues?
I agree with Carol 100%. I think, you know, people who are not from, you know, those areas and live in surrounding communities, you know, coming together for the peace walk is a sign of solidarity. And many of the mothers who are there, you know, they're showing the faces of their children. They're still grieving. And then to have, you know, people coming together really kind of shows us, shows them that their children's lives matter and that what's happening to them is not something that is not going unnoticed, or people don't embrace that. I think other ways to really get involved is to start to you know, join legislation for, you know, for better gun laws, to begin to speak out when we see these incidents happening, and begin to, you know, say that life did matter, and really kind of, you know, empathizing with the family that, you know, if you look at the faces of these individuals, they're, you know, brown and black people. You know, if you listen to what Emmett said, it's concentrated into different neighborhoods, different areas. So really advocating for, you know, for resources that would, you know, get people off the street, advocating and bringing, you know, the humanity to the fact that a life was taken, that, you know, this person wasn't a gang member, this person, you know, just because they lived in this community, just because they were a certain color. So really just raising our voices up and being heard. I think once, you know, people recognize that people are joining together in a unified voice and saying that every life matters and that we care about every life, then we will start to see more of the change that is needed. There's more good people than there are bad people.
Emmett,
Mona
Lisa, I just want to turn to Emmett for a minute here, because what you're talking about, Mona Lisa, is empathy, solidarity, educating ourselves about who's being harmed, who they are as people. I want to talk about prevention as well. And I know that Dorchester Youth Collaborative focuses on prevention. So, Emmett, talk about the ages of the young people that you work with and a little more about that kind of prevention strategy, too.
Sure. We've got a program we call Focus and Finish, and those young people are 11 years old until 15, so mainly middle school. And what we do is we recruit them right from the hotspot areas. We get out the Google Maps. We sit down with the kids. We look at where are the danger zones, how can they walk safely places, and we try to keep them busy all the way till 9 o'clock at night. Everybody needs to go to an after-school program, not us, but then those particular kids need more. So what we do is gather them at 5, so it's an after-after-school program, and feed them and have a safe place for them to socialize and explore their interests of arts and athletics and things like this and build these wonderful relationships with them and their families and then safely get them home. That's a strategy. Overbook your kids if you live in this neighborhood. Keep them very, very busy, you know.
Let's take another call. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. And I'm going to peek behind the curtain rail here. Quick here, can we do caller on line two? Okay, so let's talk to John, who is calling from I-95. Go ahead, John.
Hi there. Yeah, my question is for Emmett. One of the first things I heard him say was that he reassured us that these weren't just citizens shooting other citizens, but it was rather gang-on-gang violence. And I was just wondering if he thought that it was problematic referring to violence like that. I mean, of course these are citizens, and could the language that we're using to describe this phenomenon be actually part of the problem?
Well, let me give it, Ahmed, a chance to respond to you directly, John.
The difference of gang conflicts, and this is difficult to talk about, but I've been around for a long while, been through, you know, Whitey Bulger and La Cosa Nostra, and gangs are real. Kids know they're real. Parents know they're real. It is hard language to use, but we can do something about them, and we can intercept people before they join them, and we can help people get out of them. These are all whole human beings. They didn't, you know, get born and decide I'm going to go join a gang. There are reasons, and we can get at those reasons, and we can tackle this problem.
I want to grab another call here because we've got Augie on the line from Dorchester. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK if you want to join Augie and John and the others who are calling in. Augie, please go ahead.
Yes, sir. So I just want to address the fact that your guest says that you got to keep the teenagers or the kids busy and keep them occupied. But the simple fact of the matter is you can keep all the children as occupied as you want, but as they're seeing their fellow peers getting shot down on the street, it traumatizes them. I mean, most times kids don't know how to talk about it, so they pick up a gun and handle their emotions with violence, and nobody has really talked about that.
Augie, how would you talk about that?
Well, the thing is, in all reality, I would go back before everything even starts. But once somebody gets shot, I would actually sit my son or my daughter down and actually talk about their feelings and how it impacts them. But in all reality, it's a hard conversation to have with somebody, especially if you see your friends getting shot down on the street.
That makes perfect sense, Augie. And I want to turn to Mona Lisa on this, because I know one of the things that Mothers for Justice and Equality thinks about is how to help people have conversations that work their way through trauma. What's your response to Augie, Mona Lisa?
Augie's 100% correct. And that is why a lot of the work, you know, has to be done with families. And we have to get, you know, fathers and mothers, similar to what Augie's saying, is to be engaged in what's happening with their children and how they're feeling and how they manage those feelings. Some of the work that that we do is in the school system and really begin to work and help individuals, you know, understand, you know, what they're feeling and how to process those feelings. And similar to what Emmett is doing is put them into programs that are trauma sensitive, that they're being administered by individuals who can recognize signs and help them to have discussions on how they're going to move that frustration into something very proactive. We have to get families to begin to think about, you know, some of the things that are happening in the home, you know, getting them to really begin to understand, you know, what are some of the signs when they see their child beginning to move into that type of lifestyle, right? So, you know, are they showing up with new things that you didn't buy? You know, are they looking a little nervous and fearful, or are they feeling threatened and bullied, you know, and then not being afraid to reach out for help, right? We also have to be okay with getting mental health services and take away the stigma that if the mother needs counseling, that's a problem. If the child needs counseling, that's a problem. We have to work holistic on the whole family. And I believe there's a lot of work being done to move the work that we're doing into that direction where we are beginning to think about families, but not just the family. We're talking about generations, right? So we're talking about breaking, you know, behaviors that were, you know, were happening in families over time.
Someone,
and beginning to break that.
I'm gonna jump in here, Mona Lisa. We have a caller who may have something for us that's relevant to that piece of the conversation. We've got Paul on the line from Boston. Paul, go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. That is perfect. That's a perfect segue. I grew up in Roxbury. I grew up in between probably two of the most notorious, when you want to say gang areas, between, I don't know if I can say this, Academy Homes and Heath Street. And I didn't engage in that type of lifestyle. You know, I went to school. I went to college right here in Boston for free. I got a four-year full scholarship. So what I wanted to say was it kind of begins with the home. You know, what are the parents doing? You know, how are you disciplining your kids? Like, are you involved in their studies? What are they doing after school? As your one of your speakers was saying, you know, the parents have to be accountable. You know, we can talk about gun laws and all of that. That's great. But the foundation is the parenting. You know, what are the parents doing? And just like the lady, your speaker was saying just now, you know, we have to hold the parents accountable. And also, I think the trauma, ignoring the trauma, I'm not going to lie to you, as an African-American male myself, I know that friends and family of mine, they don't like to accept that there are things wrong and they need professional help. So that was my point.
Thank you, Paul. And Emmett, just briefly, because we've got a whole bunch more calls and I want to get to at least one or two more. What are some of the resources available to support families?
Well, one of the things we can do, there's some things that we need to do that we're not doing. We can have embedded trauma therapists, okay? So I'm one. I'm an embedded trauma therapist. I'm a therapist. But I know families way, way before anyone gets shot or anything happens. And they may not want to talk to somebody else. I agree that there's a resistance. They'll talk to me. They'll talk to the other staff. And we just mentioned, well, you know, we actually are therapists. And they go, oh, yeah, well, I'll talk to you. I know you. My mother knows you.
So there's trust that has to be built to use those resources.
We can do that. Again, it's so predictable where this is going to happen. We can fund these therapists to flood those neighborhoods with these really wonderful, caring people to have pre-existing relationships before trauma occurs.
This also makes me think of an organization called Youth Connect, which puts social workers in police precincts. Mona Lisa, do I hear you affirming on that?
Yes, definitely. I love Youth Connect, and that's exactly what they do. They work in conjunction with the Boston Police Department. And one of the things that another thing that we're doing, and really to be proactive and just very, that we, Mothers for Justice was one of nine organizations that that was awarded funding under the Governor Baker's Gun Violence Prevention Program. And what it did was it allowed us to really kind of add on that clinical social worker and also begin to go deeper into our work around working with individuals who are, you know, who are considered, actively involved, you know, and in different things. And so we actually will bring individuals in who have queries, who are having a difficult time finding jobs, and begin to work with them on a life plan. We also go behind the walls into the DYS facilities and begin to work with the young men and women while they are locked up and begin to help them to really build a life plan and also just begin to sensitize them on some of the things that they can do differently when they get out. And it's really about helping them to begin to see themselves, you know, on the other side of what they've been doing. But for us, it's so important that we not just work with the young people, but that we work with the family, that we work with that mother and we work with that father. Because if you begin to work just with the young person, that person has to go back to the environment that they came from. And so if we don't stabilize the environment that they are going to go back to, then the work that we have done is minimized.
The clock is not our friend right now. We've got a little less than 2 minutes left. I want to get one more call in. We've got George from Chelsea. George, briefly, what's on your mind?
Well, I'm a former teacher at Chelsea High School, and I had a student who was sophomore in high school, and he was a real nice kid, but he had to go and do errands for his mother across the street, the corner store, and the gang was out there, and they kept harassing him and pressuring him and terrorizing him until he ended up in the gang. And so I love this type of intervention, and I just wonder if you can reach out to the school teachers who hear these stories and be able to nip these things, get to the mother. She wouldn't realize she shouldn't send her kid across the street or whatever, you know.
Yes, thanks, George. I'm going to take it back from you there. And Emmett, just very briefly, how do we engage with teachers?
Texting is wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You find out the key there's always a few key teachers in the school that know everything and they go way above and beyond their job. They have a passion and love for these kids. They need your text number. You need permission. And then you can text every day. How's the kid doing? They can text you, bad day today. We get way ahead of the game, and kids love that. But yes, teachers are front lines. They know what's going on.
All right. That is Emmett Folgert, Executive Director of the Dorchester Youth Collaborative. Emmett, thank you. And
thank you.
Mona Lisa Smith, founder and president of Mothers for Justice and Equality. Mona Lisa, thank you. Do I still have you, Mona Lisa?
Yes, I'm here.
And Emmett and Mona Lisa, will you come back again so that we can continue this conversation over time?
Yes, Daisy.
I would love to.
Great. And listeners, thank you to you, too. We really appreciate the calls. Stay with us. There is more ahead. I am Tiziana Deering, and this is Radio Boston.